mighty and merciful God, and we're just so grateful for that right now, Lord. And we just lift you up, and we just ask that you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit as the service goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Has God been good in your lives? Always and always. God is good. I have a couple of announcements before we do that, and as the worship team is sitting down, the Word of God says that as Christians, we will be known by our love for one another, so let's just take a minute and greet those that are around you, and hey, sis. How are you? Thanks for worshiping. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys. How are you doing? Because you want to... No, I'm just kidding. I said we're just going to do a couple of these things. Yeah.
I love you, man. I love you. Thank you. That's so sweet. It's so good.
So a couple quick announcements before we get started. We do have somebody giving the sharing a little bit this morning, what God's been doing in her life. So looking forward to that. That's going to be Crystal. So she's getting prepared for that. I'll call you in a sec, sure. There's a spot in the Word that says that if we look after God's house, he'll look after ours. And I was just thinking this morning about just opening the service and just how amazing God is and just how he works in our lives. And with God, all things are possible. And I've just, the last year, I have just seen God do some amazing things. And I'm not going to get into any crazy detail, but some of you who know me personally and know what has happened, have known that I've been believing for a piece of property to be sold. That just closed on Friday. And so thank you, Lord. It's been a year, and the Lord has taken me through a valley experience, and so much I could say, but the point of it is, no matter the valley that you're going through, if you will continue to be faithful to Him in ministry and in what He has called you to look after His house, He will look after your house, and He will look after you, and He will take you into literally the promised land, which is, I'm experiencing the goodness of God in the land of the living now. And I'm married to a woman who just knows how to love me by default without even trying. It's absolutely just a total miracle. So God has been really, really good. So just to encourage you, just whatever the valley is that you're going through, just keep looking to Him and praising Him and praising Him in the midst of the valley and letting Him bring you out of that valley. And I'm now back on the mountaintop, and who knew? So, Crystal, would you come and just share what God's been doing in your life? And yeah, I can. Yeah, here, I'll grab you one. Thanks.
Well, good morning. What you said is just fits right on in with what God's been saying to me lately. So. I should maybe get myself arranged just a second.
And her mother. Thank you, Lord, that Crystal, she's such an example of one who fears you more than man, and one who follows you no matter what, Lord. Thank you that you speak softly and that you give her a strength, that you're her strength. Thank you, Lord. I ask right now that you just use her tongue, that you would just speak boldly through her. I would just give you any stress and any worry of what to share. Thank you, Lord, that your word promises us that in these situations, if we just open our mouth, you will fill it. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah.
All right. Be brave. All right, powered up. That's awesome. Well, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I just plain don't feel like being where I'm at. And the last while, you all know that. It's been like that. It's there are many times when I'm saying, oh, man, I wish I was this over with this. This is done. It's got to be done soon. It's going to be done soon. And last week, I thought it was going to, my little messy thing was going to all be done, and it wasn't. And through all of this, I think, and this next week, this past week that I'm just been in right now, God's just been saying so many times over and over and over, I don't care about the end goal here. I care about the process. And you sent me that thing from Glenn Cook, and it was just like everything I read this week was all about that. It was all about how God really cares about the process. And so let me just tell you about the process. But before I do that, I just want you to think about anything in your life that you just... Maybe even God gave you a dream, and you're going, well, how come that dream isn't happening? Like, what is the deal on this? Why is it just kind of, I'm just not going anywhere, but you gave me that dream, and you gave me that vision, God, and why isn't it happening? Maybe you're there, or maybe you're just going through some hard things where you just think, all right, why, what's going on? Why is this so hard? Why, what's the deal, God? That's what's been going through my head. But this is a great verse. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love those words. And there's a little part in that verse that kind of really hit me. Because that last part, it says, in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a really long time. And so that's what kind of hit me this week. It's like, oh, you know, this is really a process. And that is where God is doing his golden work. He is doing his golden work. Well, many of you know this too. This week I took a course, a painting course at the college and the college art series. And I was very excited about it. Signed up in April, all gung-ho, and I'm not really a painter. I'm a wannabe painter. And I had done like maybe one or two paintings in my life. And so I thought, well, this will be great. I'll learn how to paint. I want to learn to be a painter, so give me a week and I'll be a painter. That'll be great. Whoa. So the first day I get there, and it was like the first hour I just sat there and I went, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong place. They were talking words I didn't know, opaque, transparent, translucent, and all these words, and I was going, oh, man, I don't know any of this. And I was starting to panic a little bit, and then she said, okay, and now just go to your canvas, and I want you to start mixing colors, and I'm going, okay, maybe I can do that. So anyway, it stretched me this whole week, and there would be this blank canvas there, and she'd say, okay, now it's time to go, right? Time to start. And so you just start, and you don't know what, I didn't know what I was doing. I shouldn't say you. I didn't know what I was doing. And in this course, there were 15 people, and most of the people were people that have been painting. They've been painting. In fact, half of them have sold paintings, and a couple of them have their own studios. And I'm going, oh, man, what am I doing in here? But God kept saying to me, you wanted to do this. This is you're going to create beauty, but this is a process. This is a process, and you are not going to be Van Gogh by the end of this week. You're just not. You're just going to be crystal painting. So anyway, and then these words came that he's going to carry everything on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I just want to encourage us today that we are in a process. So as we're going through all these hard things, I just believe that God wants to encourage us and say that it's okay. It's okay to stumble around. It's okay to not get it perfect. And it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay because he is doing something. He is doing something amazing. And it is uncomfortable. It's kind of like suffering. It's suffering. You don't want it. You just don't want to do it. You just would rather do anything but that. But God wants us to be like him. And he saved us. We are saved. Praise him. But he is certainly not done with us. His desire is that we are pure and holy before him. And that's not going to happen in one day. It's not going to happen in a 40-hour week. It's just not going to happen that long. It's going to be till he returns. It's going to be, it is a process. And we need to encourage each other that it's okay. It's okay that we're not hitting our goal right now. It's okay. We are on the way to hitting our goal. And this is another little thing that I read this week, of course, because God knows just what you need to hear. This is from Utmost from His Highest. I love this book. Very spirit-filled man wrote this book, and he just wrote this. I'm just going to read one paragraph. It says, what is my dream of God's purpose? His purpose is that I depend on him and on his power now. If I can stay in the middle of the turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. God is not working toward a particular finish. His end is the process. That I see him walking on the waves, no shore in sight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that it is all right because I see him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. I think that is just powerful. And I don't know, God's just been saying to me, you know, this church has gone through some bumps. We have. We have gone through some bumps and some hard things. We've left. Some people have left. They've left. And God says, it's okay. Potter's hands is in process. We are not there yet. We have not arrived. We are not going to arrive until the completion when Jesus returns. We're not going to arrive. But we are. If we follow him, if we obey him, I think it's a whole thing about obedience. Put ourselves away and obey him and just listen to him, even though it's messy, even though it's kind of chaotic and tumultuous sometimes. He is pleased. I believe he's got a smile on his face for Potter's Hands. I really do. I believe that he wants to encourage us today and say, you know what, it's okay. It's okay. We've hit some bumps. But it's okay, because you know what? I want my church to be beautiful. I want it to be pure. I want it to be holy. And so I'm cleaning you out. I'm cleaning you out. And to clean you out, it's not fun. It is not fun, but it puts us up to the goal that he has for us, which is holiness. And so that's all I have to say today, is that just keep going. We're in process, but it's a good process. And we need to encourage each other because it's not that fun to go through in the process. It just really isn't that fun. But when we encourage each other and when we read the word and when God encourages us, it's going to be okay. Thank you.
Good word. Thanks, Crystal. I forgot to bring attention to a couple of the actual announcements. But that was great. I've noticed that too. In my own valleys, and when you're in the wine press or the olive press, it seems like those are the times that you really push into the Lord the most, and you really get in the Word, and you experience the most amount of growth there, which is interesting. But there's new bulletins out. If anyone didn't get one from Arlene, they're at the back by the sound booth. A couple of things to point out is that there's tent meetings August 11th to the 14th, which if you're not going to the No Greater Love Christian Festival down in Morley, that is Dorothy and Lori from up north who are coming down and they're going to be doing tent meetings here. So if you've never been to a camp meeting or a tent meeting with Dorothy and Lori, it's definitely worth it. I don't think it's possible to be there and not be encouraged in the Lord somehow, some way. The Holy Spirit really uses those tent meetings. So that's in the bulletin as well. So hopefully you pick one of those up on the way out. So I'm going to invite my brother Stan to come, and he's going to share the word with us today. It's his weekend. One of them. So, yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness once again. Lord, we just give you this time. We give you this time of sharing. Lord, use us. Use us as vessels and as instruments that you can just play and make music with. Let these next few minutes of your word coming forth be as a sweet-smelling fragrance, Lord. Let it be something that pleases and honors you, Lord. Use my brother's lips. And just thank you for the humility. Thank you for what you've done in his life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Christ is enough.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, be good. It's working? Yeah, okay. Good words, good encouragement. Just a good reminder that he washes us, and I like that. The process isn't always fun, but it's so necessary and so important, and You know, a couple weeks ago, I kind of shared that vision of climbing a mountain. And still, I'm still climbing a mountain, and maybe we all are. It's foggy, and Ken sent me a picture, and he sent me an email that just said, "Press on." And I printed it, and I've just been taking it along with me, put it in a folder that I carry along, and just once in a while you look at it, you just see this mountaintop. It's a picture of a mountaintop, and a thick soup, pea soup fog, you know. But you know that as you go through it, there's going to be something good on the other side. And so today it's just pressing on. So this is all I'm trying to do. I don't want to have any words today but God's word. I don't want to, you know, there's lots of man's words. I don't want to do man's words. I don't want to do any of that. Just want to open God's word and just teach. So all the other stuff that comes from man, all the other stuff that just comes from me isn't important. So I hope you'll just listen to God and his word today. And it's kind of special for me because last week, Crystal and I had a chance to get away for a couple of days, and that was awesome. We went to Canmore and just prayed. We just prayed to God. I said, "God, just show me something because I need something." And so he opened this up. He gave me this word. I don't know if it's for you, but it's sure for me. So if after today you go, "This is for you too," you can have it because it's something that we meant to share. And no one's going to hoard it. It's not just for me. It's for all of us. So this is just sort of a special little touch from God. A little reminder, he said, "Just take this, because this is what you need right now." And then he followed it with a little prophetic word. So I want to kind of end with that this morning. Just a specific prophetic word that I know is for me, and I believe is also for a church. So we're going to do that. But before I forget, I know there's all these announcements, but I just want to mention a couple other things. There's Vacation Bible School starting on Tuesday here, right? And I think, what time do people bring their kids? Does anyone know? 9? Is that correct? So 9 o'clock, bring your kids or bring the neighborhood kids or bring your grandkids. And there's a Vacation Bible School that we're doing with the Lutheran Church. I think it's going to be really cool. The other thing is, Tim Hafso, you want to just say a few minutes, just stand up and tell us a little bit. I know that you're starting a discipleship group.
I just actually put up my
head because
I think it's 9:30.
Okay. It's 9. Okay, well, that's helpful. But tell us also about the Saturday morning group, Tim.
I was wanting to start a young men's kind of a, not really a Bible study, but teaching, kind of a Bible study. But the book I wanted to use was the Christian Set Yourself Free by Graham Powell. And basically, it's open to any young man or old man, I guess. And then hopefully maybe there could be ladies, something for the ladies after spring up after that. But for now, just young men. And Saturday morning, I thought would be a good time that I could commit to, like from 8:30 to about 10. And basically, it's we're going to be going through Christian Set Yourself Free, and it's on deliverance. And just in a nutshell, men or people have three parts to them, body, soul, and spirit. And in your spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells, and there's nothing that can get in there. But in your soul, demons can get in there or can be passed on generation to generation. And basically, deliverance is for the believer, not for the unbeliever, because if the unbeliever is delivered and there's nothing there as far as protection, then they're worse off after that. So really, it's just going to be a time for us to look at deliverance and the process. And people, I'm hoping that a lot of us will. There could be just, it doesn't have to be dramatic deliverance. It could be a phobia that you got picked up from Alfred Hitchcock and the movies that you need deliverance. But anyways, that's the focus. And if I'd like to get an idea of how many people would be interested. So if you could maybe text me, so I haven't really set a starting time yet, if you could give me a text and then I get an idea of how many people would be interested and we could get some books and whatnot. Let's see, how could you get my text?
How about if people just come and see you today?
Come see me today.
Get your phone number from you. So if you're interested in this course, if you're interested in just growing more in Christ and deliverance, And in the Word, this is Tim.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Cool. Is it okay if we just pray a minute? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you for your Spirit who is in this place. Thank you for your Spirit who lives in us. Thank you for your Word. And I pray today that this will just be your Word, be completely your gift to us, your message to us, your reminder to us of how precious we are. Just speak, God. We pray that there won't be any distractions. Just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you'll break down every wall, that the enemy will have no place here. We pray in the name of Jesus you'll cast him out. And any of the ways that he might get us to not be thinking and not be accepting this word into our hearts and the love and the affirmation that that you show us. So we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And just one more thing. I'm sorry about that, but Carrie, we got to pray for you a minute. So you want to come up here a minute? Just want to pray for you. Carrie's heading out. We just pray for this part of your journey, Carrie. We love you. There's lots of people in tears and sad about this, but we believe. Start in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, story of Jesus with Nicodemus, and then into Isaiah. John chapter 3, verse 1. And it says there, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you were doing if God were not with him.' And Jesus, in reply, declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" You say amen to that? Amen. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Amen. That's as far as we want to read. Just what a great passage, right? And so much of our faith is centered on John 3:16. Later on, Jesus says, you know, that God sent his only Son. Just a few verses later, God sent his only Son that whoever believes in him, whoever, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And he talks about being born again. I remember not too long ago, someone asked me if the church I went to is one of those born-again churches. I hope you're not going to one of those born-again churches. I was inviting him to come, and I said, well, yeah, actually, we are. not gonna deny it and not going to apologize for it. It's what Jesus said, so we don't need to be ashamed of it. We are one of those born-again churches where we believe that you need to be born again, and that really it means that we surrender to Jesus. And it says here that whoever's born of the Spirit is, you know, Spirit begets Spirit. The Spirit, you know, produces the Spirit. We ask Jesus into our hearts. The one thing that we absolutely need and is required in our lives is that we repent. We ask Jesus to come into our hearts, and he fills us with his Spirit. And there is life in this. Amen? There is life in this. And just that whole idea of pressing on. Guys, just, you know, this week is sort of the pressing on is also a type of giving birth. If you're, and I've never, you know, been on that end of things. I've been the coach in that situation a few times. But when you give birth, it's really a pressing on. And some of you ladies are going, yeah, it sure was, right? It's a pressing on. There's something good. There's something good that's going to come, but you got to press on. You can't quit halfway through. You're not at the peak of the mountain yet, but something good is going to come. And that's true when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And sometimes we do that when we're in the worst shape, when we're in the biggest trouble. But something really good is going to come out of that act of obedience. Crystal talked about obedience. And like we always say, we don't compare notes. God speaks. You know, I know that what Crystal's going to say is just going to confirm what God's word was given to me too. But, you know, it's all about pressing on and giving birth and receiving that Spirit of God. Let's turn to Isaiah 49. And now I read from Verse 13 in Isaiah 49. We've got that? Here we go. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? And even though she may forget, I will not forget you. You see, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord God, you will wear them all as ornaments, and you will put them on like a bride. I'm going to read the rest of it a little bit later, but just verse 23, we'll end with that. And you will know, this is a promise, and you will know that I am the Lord, and that those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Good, thank you. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. You ever forget someone's name? Anyone else here that's not very good at this? I sometimes have it where, someone will come up to me, it's Jackie, right? I got to really think about it. So you came up to me this morning and you said, hey, I'm Jackie. And I'm going, okay, got to, get that in your head, Stan, because I'm so bad at this. People will tell me their names and I'm just, I'm not even listening. I'm not even paying attention. And about 2 seconds later, I don't even know what they said anymore, right? Do you ever have that? Yeah, anyone else share that problem, right? We don't remember people's names. I remember Crystal coming home one time this year, and she said, I ran into a student of mine, a former student. I taught that kid all year long when he was in grade 2, and now he's in grade 8, and I don't remember what his name is, right? You'd think that after being with that person for a whole year, you're going to remember that name, but the truth is, sometimes we don't remember. Sometimes we don't forget. We forget. It's easy to forget, right? It's easy to forget, and sometimes, and here's where we're at in this passage of Scripture, sometimes we think that God forgets us. Sometimes we think that we're not on his radar anymore. He doesn't know my name. He doesn't know who I am. And maybe we think, because that's what I'm like. I know what I'm like. I know how weak I am. I know how my memory works. I know that I forget things, so God must be the same way. But Isaiah makes it absolutely clear that that might be what you're like, but that's not what God's like at all. It's not what God's like at all. We sometimes think that God is like us. That's not true. We're like God to a certain extent. God is not like us. God doesn't have any memory lapses, okay? God remembers our name. This last week, starting I think on Tuesday, my youngest grandson was over. He's been over for last week. He's six months old, and he's just starting that whole development thing going. He's starting to crawl a little bit, and one of the things that's interesting about little kids, especially slightly earlier than this, kids who are in that 3 to 4 month range, is that they only have, their perception of reality is what they actually see. Try to follow me here. In other words, if they see you in the room, they know you're there. But if you leave the room, if you have a kid who's 3 months old or 4 months old, you leave the room, they think that you're gone. They don't know, have a clue. They don't know that you're in the other room. And that what has to happen for if you're 3 months old is that you're always, that little kid wants to see you. They want to know that you're there. They want you always rubbing their back. And I was thinking about that because that's kind of how it is sometimes in our lives with God. We want God always in the room, right? We want him always rubbing our back. And as long as God is always rubbing my back, I'm doing all right. Keep rubbing my back, God, right? I know you're there because you're rubbing my back. But if God doesn't rub my back for a little while and he leaves the room, then I panic. And I think, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten my name? Where? That's what little kids do, right? They start to cry and they flail their arms and they go, where is God? Where is God? He said he was always going to be there. He's not there. He's not rubbing my back. And God goes, I'm there. I am still with you. And I'm not going to rub your back your whole life because I want you to have, you got to get this, I want you to have more than just infant faith. You need to learn to trust me. And boy, that's the message that God keeps hammering home. You have to are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? Or do I always need to rub your back? Sometimes I'm not in the room because I want you to know that I am taking care of you all the time, no matter where you are. And I have not forgotten you. Now the Israelites, and that's who Isaiah was writing to in about the 8th century, they were feeling that way. They were feeling that God had abandoned them. Where's God? We cry out to God, we're still in captivity. That's what was happening. They were in captivity in Babylon, right? Where is God? We keep praying to God and he doesn't answer us. Where is God? Our enemies keep winning the battle, it seems. He doesn't answer our prayers, and so they're crying out to God. You've forgotten me. You've forgotten us, is what they were saying. That was as a whole group, it was what they were crying out. You've forgotten me. And God very clearly answers that cry by saying, no, I have not forgotten you. I know who you are. And I want you to know that today remains true for Potter's hands and for your life and for my life. God hasn't forgotten you. Even if you might think he has, even if you think that he might be kind of distant recently, or you're wondering, all these same things that Krista was just talking about, you're wondering, what about my prayers? What about my life? What about my enemies? What about all this stuff, God? Where are you? You've forgotten me? Do you not even know my name anymore? God says, oh no, I know your name. I know exactly who you are. I know you're my son. And you've got to know how much I love you. You are precious to me. You're important to me. And even if I'm not in the room right now, I know exactly what's going on in your life. Make no mistake about it. I am still God. I am your God. He kind of describes this by, but God asks questions back in Isaiah 49. He says, he starts a couple good questions. He says, can a mother forget her child as she's breastfeeding it? He starts with that one. And most of the women who have ever done that before would go, no, that's a good analogy, no. I mean, I don't know that I've ever talked to a woman who said, you know, I've got this baby and I've been breastfeeding it. I have no idea who this baby is, though. I don't know where, what's with this kid, but I've been feeding it, and I mean, I like it, but I have no idea who it is, right? I mean, can a mother who is feeding her baby, can that mother forget the baby? No, he says, it's just like, that's like me, God says. If a mother couldn't forget her baby, then can I forget you? I can't forget you, Sherry. Because you're mine, and I've fed you, and I've nurtured you, and I've held you in my arms, and I've had you at my breast, and I have bonded to you. Amen? Amen. And then he kind of develops that a little further, and he says, for I have borne you. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? And he's saying in that way that, so we understand that, you know, really, our God has given life to us. He has given birth. And that's why we read from John 3, because it's about being born again. It's about the Spirit, generating the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. And I don't know about you, but I get great comfort in that teaching that God's Spirit lives inside of me, that there's life in me, that I am born again or I'm born anew because I have received Christ into my heart, I've repented, and he has filled me with himself. But it's really another rhetorical question. Could I give birth to you and forget you? I don't think so. I've never run into a mother who had a three-year-old kid running around, and she says, you know, I really like that kid. He's kind of cute, but I have no idea where he came from. That just doesn't happen, right? You know if you have given birth to a little boy, you know if you've given... Eric, you shouldn't be nodding your head because you're not a woman, but you can understand it, right? Eric's going, yeah, yep. A woman knows if this is her baby, and that's what God's saying, right? If you've given birth to that little boy, no one can tell you that's not your little boy. You don't wake up one morning and go, man, I have no idea where he came from. You know exactly where he came from. You know what you went through. And that's the point. God says, and here's what you got to know. God says, I have gone through a lot with you. I've gone through a lot for you because I love you so much, because I've saved you from everything, because I am your father, because I gave birth to you. I breathed life into you. Do you think that I can forget you or that I would forget you? How dare you say, you have forgotten me, God. You've forsaken me, God. You don't hear my prayers anymore, God. You've left the scene here, God. Don't say that. He says, I can. In fact, here's what he's really saying, and I want you to get this. He isn't saying, I won't forget you. That's not what God's saying. He's not saying, I will never forsake you. He's not saying that here. He's not saying, I won't forget you. What he's saying is, I can't forget you. Just like a mother can't forget her own child, God says, I can't forget you. I could not forget you. I could not forget your name, even if I tried. Because I am the one who gave you life. We are joined. We're soul connected. Do you get that? You and your God are soul connected. He says, I died for you. You have my very essence, the very spiritual DNA of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. I can't. It's not just that I won't. I cannot forget you. I saw you breathe your first breath. That's what God's saying. I was there when life flowed into you. I could never forget that. I have the image of your new birth and your new life indelibly imprinted in my heart. I could never forget you. Don't think for a moment that I don't know your name. I know your name. I know your name. And as a matter of fact, he goes on from there and he says, you know what, let me tell you this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? No. Does she have no compassion on the child that she has born? Do you think this is even possible? It's not possible. God can't forget you. God knows exactly who you are. And then he says, see, I have engraved you. And don't you love this? I have engraved you into the palm of my hands. I have engraved you into the palm of my hands. How many of you have tattoos? You don't need to put your hands up. Next question was going to be, how many of you regret your tattoos? Don't put your hands up. Yeah, same hands. You know, people get tattoos for all kinds of different reasons. Some people get a tattoo just because it's really beautiful. Sometimes people get a tattoo because it's just a real reminder. We were on a hike a week ago at Siffler Falls, and there were some people ahead of us, and this guy on his calf had four little doggy imprints, and the word lucky was on it. I'm following up the hill, and there's this guy, lucky, with four little dog paws on it, and I'm thinking lucky's probably not that lucky anymore. He probably wouldn't be on the guy's tattoo, right? But that's one of the reasons why people sometimes get tattoos, is so that they remember something. So that they're not forgetting. People sometimes get a new girlfriend and they write the name on their heart, and then they go, oh yeah, it's Lisa, you know. But I want you to know this today, that this thing that God has engraved, he says, and he doesn't actually say he's engraved your name. He says, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. But that God doesn't do this to remember you because he's afraid he might forget you. In other words, God never engraves your name or you on the palm of his hands so that he goes, Robin, right? Like it's not some kind of a device to help him remember. God has no problem remembering your name. He doesn't go, it's Tim, right? It's Tim. So the fact that you are engraved on the palm of his hands is not about him remembering, it's about him declaring. You understand that? It's about him declaring. He's going, this is my Tim. This is my son. And I love him. And I'd never forget him. And I died for him. Right? This is my Daniel. He doesn't put the name of Daniel or the Daniel, the person of Daniel on the palm. He doesn't engrave Daniel on the palm of his hands so that he'll remember you in case he forgets you. He can't forget you. He puts it there to declare it. You are special. You're precious. You are fearfully, you are wonderfully made. And I am with you right till the very end. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. Can you say that? And he loves us. You know, he loves us so much that he has actually engraved us in the palm of his hands. And it's not for his sake as much as it's ours. It's so that we see it. God knows who we are. But it's so we see it when he raises his hands. And believe me, God raises his hands. He blesses us. He raises his hands over us in this Christian life. And we need that. Right? Now, he goes on and he talks about engraving. And really, that word isn't just tattooing. In the Hebrew language, it's the word called chakak. And it means to carve. It means to emblaze. It means to cut in, to literally cut into. And it's more than just a tattoo. It's more. There's blood involved. With this engraving of the Father, and with you being in the palm of his hands, there's blood involved. And we know that, you know, Jesus hung on the cross. We know that they drove those rusty nails through the palms of his hands. And really, the message that God would have us hear today is that you and I, we, have been engraved in the palm of his hands through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice that Christ has made, through the full redemption of our sins, that somehow when Jesus came and rose from the dead and when that wound appeared in the palm of his hand, it had my name. It was my name that was written there. Isn't that good? That it demanded the blood of the very Son of God for you and me to be saved, for us to be remembered. It demanded that the blood of Jesus had to pour out. It's about redemption. Man, isn't that good news that we have a God who's a redeeming God? That even though the world is a mess and my life is a mess and my family is a mess and my finances are a mess, I've got a God who's in control. Amen? Amen. Give him a hand. Bless him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because if you're not in control, nobody is. Nobody is. I'm not in control. I certainly can't change anything, but God, you can. And he says, I love you. Do you get it? Here's what this is about. I could not forget you. Even if I tried, you think that God, we always say, well, God can do anything. Well, here's something God can't do. He can't forget you. Thank God. Yeah. He can't because he is your Father. He's gone through this with you. He has seen you with new life. He has born you with the Spirit of God. You're born again. You're born again because he has put the very DNA, the spiritual DNA of the Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. And he says, I'll never forget you, never. And you will one day, you'll one day be with me forever and ever. And there will be no more tears. There will be no more enemy. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more pain. There will be no more struggles. There will be no more of any of this because I will bring you home. Amen? Thank you, God. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. No more little three-year-olds like your brother-in-law, Brian, who passed away, a little three-year-old who dies suddenly and tragically. God be with that family. No more hurting. No more having to leave for something better. No more brokenness. No more injustice. How about that one? No more injustice. No more addiction. No more poverty. No more poverty. No more of the struggles that you and I go through. I don't know about you, but I am sometimes so sick and tired of the struggle. And he says, press on. Press on, because I am your God. I'm in control. And so today, what is God saying? What is God saying? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I want you, you who I love, I want you to see that my hands are open. And that's really my prayer today. God, show us today your open hands. Show us that I am engraved in the palm of your hands. When you see God's hands, do you see the name Tim? Do you see Gord? You know, do you see Ricky? He says, I want you to see that you are mine. You are mine. You're mine. I love you. I died for you. You are precious to me. See the open hands of Jesus as he heals you, as he delivers you, as he sets us free. Right? His hands, those palms, you know, there's something on those palms where he says, you're mine. You get it? You are mine. Jackie, your name. You're Jackie, not just the name, but the person Jackie is written on the palms of Jesus Christ who died for you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And so, if today you're feeling like, where's God been? Maybe you're feeling like you've just been a little neglected, a little forgotten. Maybe you've wondered, God, do you even know who I am anymore? Because you seem like you've been kind of quiet in my life. And I'm not getting the answers that I want, and everything is so broken. And God says, I want you to look here. I have engraved you in the palm of my hands, Kit. I've engraved you. I've not forgotten you. Even when you're struggling with a bad shoulder or with grandkids or struggles or with no money in the bank, he says, look, I have not forgotten you. I love you. I died for you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake. Amen? Thank you, God. If today any of that resonates, maybe you're just feeling alone, or you're feeling like, maybe you've been asking that question, does God really care? Does he know who I am anymore? God gave me a picture of, I guess, a response. Maybe I'll paint the picture for you first and then let's do it. But, you know, I always ask that question of God. So, great word. I love it, God. I know it's your word. Thank you. I need it. Boy, do I need it. Boy, do I need it. Did I say that twice already? Boy, do I need it. And he says, well, here's the picture. There are going to be a few people here today who need to know that God hasn't forgotten them. So just call them to come to the front. And rather than stand in a circle where we face each other, we're going to stand in a circle that we face out. And I want all the other people to stand around and raise their hands. And then I want you to give the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And we're going to say that together in just a few minutes. So I want to be in the middle, and anyone else who wants to be in the middle, would you come and just join me now, right now? Just come on up. We need to know today that God hasn't forgotten you. I'm inviting you right now to come. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. God knows your name. God knows your name. Let's back up here a bit. I know there's more. Let's not be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You want to feel the love of God? Let's come. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Come on up. Come on up. I want to know God. That's our prayer today. I want to know, God, that you know who I am. You care about me. God loves you, brother. What's your name? Kelvin? God loves you, man. God loves you. Just get in a circle. Is there anyone else? Don't be afraid. This is a time for us to just know how much God cares about you. You're struggling right now in your life, and you know what the enemy's saying? Just stay where you're seated. Don't do anything. Please don't do anything. Just stay. We're going to be done with this service pretty soon. Then you can go to Tim Hortons. You're listening to the wrong voice, right? You're listening to the wrong... Tim, I got news for you, by the way. Tim Hortons will still be open 15 minutes later than what you normally do, right? You guys just stay here. I got to walk a little bit. You guys, listen. God wants you to know that you are precious. He knows who you are. And it's time that you feel that and you know it. And he wants you to see. You know, he's a God of the visual. He says, look, 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 look. It's right here. I've got you in the palm of my hands. There's blood. I died. Play, that's good. I just got one more little story to tell. Maybe it'll just draw you out of your seat. But can you imagine this? Imagine that you had a little son, and he played with another little neighborhood boy named Billy. And they were playing in the water, your son and little Billy. And they got out too far in the water, and it got windy. Just imagine that you were in that situation where you had to choose who to save. You could save your son, or you could save little Billy. They're good friends, but you couldn't save them both. Imagine that you were in that situation where you had to make that absolutely difficult life challenge, and you decided on that day, you decide you're going to save little Billy, and that you would sacrifice the life of your only son so that his friend could live. I want to ask you a question. If that happened to you, and I'm not going to ask you whether you would do it or not, but I want to ask you this question. If you did that, and if your son died, and little Billy was still alive, let me just ask you this question. Do you think that any time through the entirety of your whole life, do you think you would ever forget who little Billy was? You'd never forget little Billy. I don't think, even if you were 75 years old and someone came up to you and said, hey, you remember way back then, 50 or 70 years ago when your son died and you saved that little boy? Do you remember his name? I don't think you'd say, no, I kind of forgot the guy's name. Right? That doesn't make any sense, right? That would never happen. You would remember. And here's what I want to leave you with. I believe what God wants to leave you with today. He'll never forget you either. He'll never forget you, Kelvin. Because he knows, here's the main reason why. He'll never forget you because he knows that he gave his son up, his only son, so that you could live. Your name will always be on his lips. Your name will always be on his lips. Let's stand closer together, okay? Can we do that? I want you all to come. Just come. Everyone, if you're not comfortable, you can stay seated. I want you all to stand around like this. And I'm going to get in the middle here because I need this. So everyone, come up and raise your hands. Come up and raise your hands. Come to the front. Surround us. Will you do that? Surround us. Surround us. Thank you, God. I'm going to just pray while you're coming. God, we need you, Lord. We need your blessing. We need to see, God, that, oh, your hand is upon us, that you have engraved us. You've graved us in the palm of your hand. We need to hear today that I will never forsake you. I will never forget you. God, oh, we're just so lost without you. And I thank you that your word is the truth. I thank you, God, that You want each of us who've come forward, you want us to know that you have matters well in hand. You got matters well in hand. We don't need to worry. We don't need to doubt. And even sometimes when you seem to have left the room, you're not gone. You're not rubbing our back right now, but you're still there. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me so that I could live. And that the Holy Spirit begets the Holy Spirit. That your very Spirit now lives in me and lives in each of us. And that we are born of the water and of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So as you raise your hand, and let's raise our hands back as we receive this, you say after me, the Lord bless you. Okay, we're going to do it louder. We've got to really do this good. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. And the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And the Lord give you His peace. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Look at my Bible. Just one, as we leave, I just want you to hear the prophetic word. Again, you take it for what it is. It's a prophetic word because it's straight out of God's word. And I believe it's His word for me, my wife, my family, but I believe that it goes beyond that. So listen to what God says, and it's what He says next. Let's just take a second. I'm going to be quiet. We're going to just be quiet for maybe 30 seconds to let this absorb first. Just pray. God, open our hearts. God, show us what you would say. Speak. Okay, thank you, God. We're going to take, again, I just really think we need to take 30 seconds. So let's, I know there's other words, and it's hard sometimes to have silence. We're going to have just 30 seconds of it, and then I want you to hear what God says. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people. And those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. And then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You see, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. And they will bring your sons to their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Kings will be your foster fathers. And their queens, your nursing mothers, they will bow down before you with their faces to the ground, and they will lick the dust at your feet. And then you will know I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. God bless you. Go in the power of God. Amen. You got a song? Is there a song? It is well. Let's just sing the chorus of that. It is well. So sing that out. It is well. It is well. Let's stand up. You got to stand up to sing this.
With my soul.
Sing it out.
It is well.
Sing it out.